The first reading for today, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is from the book of Acts, chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus a resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, a high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set him in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I receive from my Father." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just the very nature of being a pastor, I spend a fair amount of time in my car driving, and I always have the radio on. Remember Paul Harvey? One of the voices I really miss on the radio was Paul Harvey, because he'd always go, "And now for the rest of the story." I don't know about you, but I liked Paul Harvey so much that a couple of times I would pull in at home, and Paul Harvey was starting, so I would sit in the driveway for another 4 to 5 minutes just to listen to whatever story he had to tell. All right? Because they were short stories, but they really hit the point, and I always enjoyed them. Jesus tells in this one, in the gospel lesson for today, a similar story. Everyone knew shepherds, and they certainly knew what sheep were. And in this lesson, Jesus hints at his own identity, who he is, the rest of the story. When Jesus talked about shepherds, I wonder how many of them thought about the shepherd boy who would become king, and I'm talking about David. Shepherds spend days and nights with their sheep, and they would protect their sheep. And it's said in the Bible that David, when he was a shepherd, just as a boy, killed bears. I give them credit for that because they're big football players. Now, today, American flocks are moved by border collies. But even to this day in the Middle East, sheep are still moved from pasture to pasture or back to the pen by a shepherd leading from the front, either calling the sheep or playing a musical instrument, and the sheep will follow him. It's still done the same way 2,000 years later. One of the most popular images of Jesus is that of the Good Shepherd. I mean, our church is named after it. We have a stained glass window in the back there with a picture of it. And I'm sure if I asked you to close your eyes, which I don't want you to do, because I don't want you to fall asleep, all right? I'm sure you can picture that normal painting of the Good Shepherd where Jesus has the sheep around his shoulder or carrying it in his arm. It's that familiar that we can picture it in our minds. That image of the Good Shepherd. It really shows that we want to have a vibrant, alive relationship with God. There's a story of a tour group that was being led in Israel, and the tour guide was telling the ones on the bus that shepherds always lead the flock and how this works, things like that. And just as they're doing this, they're getting off the bus, and there's a man herding about 20 sheep, and he's standing behind them with a stick and whacking them to get them to move where he wants to go. Kind of contradicted what the tour guide just had said. So the tour guide went up to the man, talked to him for a couple of minutes, then he came back to the tour group and he says, "Oh, don't worry about it. He's not the shepherd. He's the butcher." Jesus knew exactly what Israel wanted. They wanted a new shepherd. A shepherd like a Solomon or a David. They wanted somebody desperately to drive out the Romans. And who better than Jesus? He feeds 5,000. If he can feed 5,000, can't he feed the army? If he can heal the sick, can't he then heal the wounded on the battlefield? If he can raise the dead, can't he raise the dead who died in a battle? This is perfect all the way around. This is the king who will take care of them and grant them victory after victory. But that's not the type of king he was. Jesus says, "I am the gate. I am the good shepherd." Jesus is claiming, by the way, in those words, he's claiming to be God. Because he uses the words, "I am." That is the name that God used in the Old Testament for himself. Jews would not use that expression unless they were talking about God. So when he specifically says, "I am," he's making a reference that they would have picked up that he's claiming to be God. And it doesn't go over very well. God had allowed humans, people, to be the religious and secular leaders. They were supposed to care for the people, not misuse them, and not to steal from them. Imagine a government that didn't steal from you. Yeah, I'm making a joke about taxes. But also an important role was to stop the worship of false gods in the land. The rulers were also supposed to protect the people from their enemies. And if you go through 1 and 2 Kings, you're going to find out there's precious few good ones that get like a check mark where God says, this is a good one. Most of them are bad right down the line. Most failed. Last week, I had mentioned the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus explained to them the scriptures. God in his mighty wisdom did not have those two disciples write down what Jesus said for wouldn't you just want to know what he said to them? I guess he was explaining all the stuff that would have been in the Gospels that we already have, but man, I'd love to know what he had to say that day. The disciples themselves said, "Were our hearts not burning within us when he talked with us on the road and helped us to understand the scriptures?" The Pharisees and the religious leaders understood what Jesus was saying when he said, "I am the good shepherd." They knew the book of Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherd herds, shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back the sick, or brought back those that were driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them." Pretty strong language that God uses when he's talking to the shepherds of Israel. And the shepherds of Israel were the religious and political leaders of the day. So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he's pointing the finger back at them and saying, "I'm the good shepherd because you're not." On Judgment Day, Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep to his right, the goats to his left. Pharisees were not real happy. They knew that Jesus was replacing the temple as the most important thing with himself. And then he says in this gospel passage that the salvation is not only for the Jews, but we're the other flock, we're the Gentiles that needed to be brought in. Jesus is really challenging their thinking. He's telling them, "You're not doing your job as a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and I'm here to take care of my sheep." Now, did even the disciples understand this? As late as Acts chapter 10, Peter did not want to enter the house of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, because he didn't want to become unclean. Jesus had to send him a vision that basically said, "Peter, stop being stupid. Now get in there and have dinner with the man." See, that's my version of what was done. But Jesus had to again step in and say to Peter, "Peter!" See, that's what I love about Peter. Peter just screws up again and again. You know, he brings a smile to my face because I don't feel so bad anymore. Now listen to the words of Jesus. "I am the gate. All who enter through me will be saved. I am the good shepherd. I have other sheep that are," and these are the non-Jews I'm talking about, "I will rescue them as well. They will listen to my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd." He was casting out the restrictive ideas that the Jews had that only Jews could be saved. To put this story of the Good Shepherd into the chronological timeline, this happens during the Feast of Dedication, or what we call Hanukkah. And the Jews then demand a sign from Jesus. "You are claiming these things. Show them to me." He's not going to do a miracle just for show. He won't do his sign for him because he's been doing signs all along the way. He's been healing thousands of people. He raises 3 people from the dead by this point. All right? He's done all these signs, but yet they want more. 4 months from this event in our gospel lessons, they put Jesus to death. He's too dangerous to have him around. Have you ever thought of Jesus as being too dangerous? Because he rattles our world with his words. He tells us to think entirely different than what society says. Sunday morning Bible study, we're studying the book of Proverbs. And again, the Proverbs are calling us to live completely contrary to what the world says is important. That's what Jesus does. He flips the whole thing upside down, and he can appear dangerous. When Jesus says the shepherd's life, Jesus says that he lays down his life for the sheep. Notice he says he does it, not that somebody else is going to take his life. You know what? When Jesus was being crucified, and we just went through Holy Week, he was in control. He laid down his life. He allowed those things to happen, but he was still in control. He willingly gave up his life to fulfill the promises made to Adam and Eve and throughout the entire Old Testament that he was coming to save the people from their sins. He says to all people who have broken his commandments that he has died for them. Colossians 2:14 says, through faith in Jesus, his death and resurrection, God grants peace, forgetting and erasing our broken commandments to all who believe. This is the good news of Christianity. The men who took down the body from the cross wrapped it up in cloths. The women who went to the tomb, they had all seen that Jesus had been killed, that he was dead. By the way, when the women came, the stone was rolled away. Never thought of it this way. That stone was rolled away for what reason? If he can pass through closed doors, does he really need a stone to be rolled away? So why was it rolled away? It was done for us. So we could look in, or the disciples and the women could look into the tomb, go in there and say, he's really not here. The stone was rolled away for us to realize that he is risen, that he has kept his promises to us. Today, the Good Shepherd is calling your name. He's asking you to lift all the restrictions on your heart, those ideas that we have that don't fit the biblical narrative. And when we lift those restrictions from our heart, the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes. We stop resisting what he's doing. And we find peace and hope that your heart is so desperately longing for. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.